When Elnora Griffin was murdered in 1993 just east of Tyler, police zeroed in on Edward Ates as a suspect. The victim lived near Ed's grandma, and he'd visited with Griffin the night she was killed, but none of his DNA was found at the crime scene. Even with the trial on the horizon, Ed says he wasn't panicking.
Because I didn't do it. I just thought they was going to just do what they were going to do and just, you know, it was going to be over. And my lawyer said they don't have any evidence. They saying they got this, they got that, but they don't have anything, which I already know that. I didn't do anything.
Ed has maintained his innocence from the start. A jury found otherwise, convicting him of murder and sentencing him to 99 years in prison. He went in 1998, leaving behind his daughter and wife Kim, 5 months pregnant with their son.
We were, I would say, existing. Not living, but existing. Our daughter was just three, so she really didn't understand that her dad was not coming home.
In prison, Ed was sad and angry. He says memories of his wife and kids were painful.
Thinking about your family every day, you know, bad as you want to. I mean, you can't, you just put it to the side, you know, because it always creeps back up on you at night.
Meanwhile, Kim tried to absorb the financial shock of a husband behind bars. She'd always worked full-time as a manager at a company that processes credit card transactions. But before Ed's arrest, he'd brought home about $2,000 a month as a truck driver. That income was gone. Kim says there were days she didn't have enough money to put gas in the car. She eventually sold their home and moved in with her parents. Kim says her husband had nothing like that support system.
He wasn't a big smiler anyway, but never smiled really. And, you know, just like the life sucked out of him.
After almost 18 years behind bars, Ed was feeling hopeless, and he was skeptical when a podcaster named Bob Ruff sent him a letter. Ruff's podcast, Truth and Justice, investigates potential wrongful convictions, and he wanted to talk. He'd even put money in Ed's commissary account for a phone call.
And it started ringing, and I don't know if I was going to get a panic attack or something or what. I just hung the phone up. And I finally called him back in a couple of days, and that's when it started.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Truth and Justice.
Ruff dove into Ed's case, devoting dozens of episodes to his story.
And after finally reading through the entire transcript of his trial from 1998, I have to say that I'm absolutely astonished that he got convicted.
So Ruff reached out to the Innocence Project of Texas, and lawyers there took on the case. The exoneration process can take years, but could eventually lead to financial freedom for the Ates family. When Ed came up for parole for the third time, podcast listeners sent hundreds of letters of support. After 20 years, at the age of 50, Ed was paroled and walked out of prison in September of 2018. He's now home with his wife and children in Cedar Hill.
This is my first place. My number one stop, my last. This is where I'd rather be. I mean, I feel safe here, you know.
Paroled is not the same as exonerated, which is why Allison Clayton with the Innocence Project is hard at work on Ed's case.
We're pretty sure we know who the real murderer was. We know that evidence supporting our theory at least one point in time did exist, should still exist, and we're running after that evidence.
Exoneration can mean many things. Clayton's working to get Ed exonerated with what's known as a finding of actual innocence. That's the key.
So in Texas, we have a very, very good compensation program for exonerees who have an actual innocence finding. And that phrase right there is always the kicker, right? Because you have to have that declaration of actual innocence.
If you do, for every year of wrongful conviction, the state owes you $80,000. In Ed's case, that would be $1.6 million. That would change his life. But Kim says it can't change the past.
Our kids didn't have him growing up. You know, the other dads are there cheering their kids on or coaching them on the sideline or taking them in the backyard, throwing the ball with them. You know, he never got to experience that. And I think that hurt a lot.
Still, Ed says exoneration would ease the pain of those 20 lost years.
Yeah, I wanted exoneration. I still do. And they're working on it. Right now, you know, you're just in limbo and just waiting, you know. But if I got to be waiting right here at home, I'm fine with it.
And that wait may last years. In the meantime, Ed works for the city of Dallas, making $16.50 an hour. He barbecues with friends and goes to church. His family's together again, and that makes the drawn-out battle to clear his name a little easier to fight. I'm Courtney Collins in Cedar Hill.